The Oregon coast in the wintertime. It's cold, it's raining, just how we like it in the Pacific Northwest. I was with my dog in the North Jetty in Fort Stephens State Park. It was a very stormy day, and the surf was high, crashing over the rocks on the jetty and pounding the beach. From the viewing tower, I saw a man-like figure walk down off the grassy areas onto the beach. At first, I did not think too much of this person out on the sands. Then I watched as the figure neared the edge of the water. It was waving its arms up and down, facing the surf and the tower. There was another person on the tower with his daughter, and they saw the figure too. We looked at each other with a, "What the hell is that?" look, and said nothing, and continued to watch the figure standing on the beach. At this point, I noticed a pickup truck with its lights on approaching up the beach from the south. Then the scale of the figure really struck me. It had to have been 8 feet tall or more. The figure quickly turned and moved very fast off the beach before the truck was in range. It did not run, but rather strode the 30 yards or so to the dune's edge. Then it took one or two steps up the embankment and was gone. I was all excited and scared on what I had just seen. I decided to go to the nearest parking lot, near where the figure came down on the beach, and see if I could get another look at it. As I approached the beach, I became even more afraid. The wind was so strong, I could hear nothing but the roar of the surf and the howl of the wind through my coat's hood. My dog was very anxious and stayed close to me. I went to the beach and found where it had come down. Sand was all torn up from its passage. But when I discovered the hill was an easy 10 foot high, I really became fearful and decided to return to my car and leave instead of following the tracks into the grass. Even though this encounter happened back in the late 70s, the vivid picture of a sandy-colored figure standing near the surf, waving its arms, still stays with me today.
Black thing go from left to right, and I thought, I'm gonna die out here, no one's ever gonna know.
I couldn't believe what my eyeballs were showing me. I'll never forget how evil the eyes were. It was horrible. I mean, I've never seen nothing that evil.
It ran towards me at a rate that I can't even explain. Turned and stared at me, and this look of, I just want to kill you. I want to say it was human, but it wasn't.
He was yelling at me to grab a gun. I was like, for what? He said, just grab a gun. And there's footprints all the way to the door of my house. It had went inside my garage all the way to the door.
911, what are you reporting?
Jesus Christ, you better...
Sir?
See ya!
Hello?
Get somebody out here.
What's going on now, sir?
That son of a bitch is about 6'9", I don't know.
Do you see him now, sir?
Yes, I'm looking right at him.
Uh-oh.
You're listening to Sasquatch Chronicles. Check us out online at sasquatchchronicles.com. If you've had an encounter, email me. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. Happy Valentine's Day. Welcome to the show, everyone. Thanks for being here tonight. Got a great show planned for you tonight. We're going to be talking to Tyler, and Tyler comes to us from Indiana. He's going to be sharing his own personal encounters that happened to him while hunting. As Tyler and I were talking the other day, he said, you know, I had this ex-girlfriend, that had the story about when she was a child being dragged off by monkeys and her uncle shooting it and burying it. So I asked him to kind of share that account tonight. I find it fascinating. Could have been monkeys, could have been something else. I'm sure it was something else. but thank you so much for being here tonight. If you've had an encounter and you'd like to be on the show, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. And if you get a chance, check out sasquatchchronicles.com. You can become a member and get additional shows. If you forgot to pick up flowers, now would be a good time to maybe pause the show and get some flowers. Let's jump into it tonight. I want to welcome Tyler to the show. Tyler, thanks for coming on.
Hey.
Hey, Tyler. I appreciate you being here. And I'd like to start off first with this account your ex-girlfriend told you. If you would, just kind of walk us into this, because there's a little bit more to the story. I mean, it was in the newspaper, and if you would, kind of tell us what she shared with you and what you found out later.
We were started dating, and this had, me and her has been split up for 13 years. It's been a long time. And when we first started dating, she would always tell me a story about her being attacked by monkeys and trying to be drugged into the woods. And I always thought she was just full of it. She said that one of them grabbed her and tried to drag her in the woods, and her uncle shot one and killed one. And then they had to burn it and bury it in her yard. And I always thought she was full of crap. She lived with her grandma because her mother passed away whenever she was real young, died in a car accident. And we went over to her grandma's one day. For some reason, that popped up in my head about asking her about her getting attacked by a monkey. So I asked her grandma, I said, hey, I said, she told me that she got attacked by a monkey and tried to get drug off into the woods. And she said she did. And I was like, what? She said, yeah. She said, hold on. She went in her little book photo thing and grabbed a newspaper clipping and brought it out to me and said, here, like, right here. She handed me a newspaper clipping, and it was her being attacked by this monkey thing. And what happened was that she was sitting on the porch of the house, and her grandma heard her start screaming. So she ran outside, and there was two monkey things. That's what they call it. This is what she called a monkey. They look like chimps, she said. She said one of them had her by the diaper, trying to run with her, drag her to the woods. And the other one was sitting there trying to, I guess, pull her along or whatever. So she grabbed a broomstick. I'm guessing it was a broom. She said she grabbed the handle and went over there and started whacking the one of them with it, started hitting it. And they were like, she said they were eating big, little small, like a small little monkey. Started hitting one with it, and it let go of it, let go of her. And she was screaming and hollering. About that time, I think one of them grabbed the dog by this collar and ran up a tree with it. And about that time, her uncle come outside, seen what was happening, because her uncle was living with them at the time too. Ran back inside, grabbed the shotgun, come outside and shot and killed it. And they ended up calling the police department, the sheriff's department, and the sheriff come out there. And then this is small town Indiana. We're southern Indiana. It's nothing but rolling hills and cornfields. That's all it is down there. And rolling hills, trees, as far as you can see, in cornfields. Well, he called the sheriff's department, and this is, I can tell you the county it was in. It was in Crawford. It happened in Crawford County, Indiana. It's about 40 minutes west of Louisville, Kentucky. He called the sheriff's department down there. I don't know if it's the sheriff come out, deputy come out, or whatever. But they come out there, and they asked, you know, what the hell is, you know, what that is. And they always said that they knew monkeys live back in the woods, but they'd never seen one. They would hear them back there, I guess, making all kinds of noises. They knew they were back there. That's what her grandma was telling me, but never seen anything or nothing like that until, I guess, that day. And they shot and killed that little one. And the sheriff told them to burn it and bury it. Find, you know, dig a hole and bury it, burn it. So no, like if there's a... something comes up and tries to scavenge it or whatever, tries to dig it up, you know, it's not gonna, I don't know why they had to burn it for. I mean, that's the only thing I could think of, is if they had to burn it so no predators or anything like that would try to come up and eat it. I know they lived there for probably another two or three years, and nothing ever come and dug it up, they said. So whatever they shot, if it's a monkey that escaped from a zoo or what, I have no idea, but it's still there. I don't know of any monkeys that live in the woods in southern Indiana. So, I mean, that always, like, kind of, you know, weirded me out. You know, like, what the heck is it? You know, what these monkeys doing back in the woods for? That lived there, that, like, actually, that lived in the woods. And they just lived there for a while because they knew about them. It's just, it was just weird.
It is. It's a really bizarre story, you know, because you wouldn't think a monkey would survive the winter out there in Indiana, southern Indiana. You know, it gets pretty cold out there.
Yeah, I mean, the only thing I could think if they found like a barn or something like that to hold up in. I mean, that's, I have no idea, but I mean, that story like kicked back in my brain whenever I saw my encounter out here where I live right now, and that's when I was thinking, man, I wonder what that was, what they shot, if that was whatever what I ran into, like if they shot a small one or something and buried on the property or whatever, because that's. I mean, I have no idea why a monkey would be out, like a chimp, they call it a monkey-looking thing, would be out in the woods trying to grab some little kid by her diaper and drag her off into the woods for, you know, for no reason. You know, that just baffled me.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if it was like a juvenile Sasquatch or if it was actually a real monkey. But tell me about your encounter. When did this happen? And if you would, just kind of walk us into it.
Well, I'll tell you what happened before that is whenever I was hearing those whistles and stuff, when that's before I even went hunting out there in the back of the woods behind my house. I bought this property. It's been 5 years. I've lived there 5 years now. The first hunting season, we really didn't hunt back there much because our neighbor, he owns 90 acres behind me. I only own the 5 acres and he owns the 90 behind me. And then that butts up against, we call it the big woods. It's about 2,000 acres, if not more. That's just, it's old growth. I mean, like there's trees back there, you know, I bet they're 4 foot wide. I mean, they're big. They're big trees. That butts into the, it's the Hoosier National Forest. That butts up in the backside. It all runs together. It's just a huge stretch of woods. It runs all together right up against the Ohio River. Well, I would go out. I'd have to get up to go to work in the mornings at about 3:30, 4 o'clock. I have to get up and I drive all the way to Louisville, Kentucky. It's about an hour and 15 minute drive. So that's why I get up so early. Well, I'd go outside sometimes and I'd hear like a bird chirping at me at three something in the morning. You know, 4 o'clock in the morning, I'd hear, and then I never thought anything of it. I just thought they were birds. And then I'd go out there another time and I'd hear, and then there's a cornfield right beside my house. And about 20 yards in the cornfield, I heard another bird chirp. And I was like, what? You know, I never put two and two together until I started listening to your show. But I went out hunting. It was shotgun season. We didn't have rifle season yet here. So I went out hunting. I put my light on, got all dressed, whatever. And I was sitting there walking back through the woods. And I got that red light on. I got a light that you can switch from red to green to white light. And I had the red on. And I was walking back this old logging path that's beside my house. Because my neighbor let me hunt on his property. Because his fence is on my side of the property about 30 foot. And he come over to my house that summer and said, hey, he said, give me about a year or two. And I'll go through that and take that fence line and I'll move it over 30 foot. And so we ain't got to have no problem. I told him, I said, man, I said, you're perfectly fine, dude. I said, you can leave the fence. You're good. Trust me. I was like, 30 foot's not going to bother me. I said, it's back here in the woods. You know, we know our property lines. You can leave it there. He's like, are you sure? I'm like, yeah, I'm trying to be, you know, a good neighbor. Like, cause two of my other neighbors are, you know, they're really good neighbors. And I told him, you know, we just be cordial. You just leave your fence. You're fine. Cause he's got cows back here. He said, well, do you hunt? I said, yeah, I hunt. He's like, well, he goes, I got this 90 acres back here. It's right behind you. He said, I don't hunt. I haven't hunted in, I haven't hunted in 20 years. I was like, oh yeah. He's like, well, you can hunt that 90 acres if you want. So I was ecstatic. I was like, heck yeah. So I ended up putting a tree stand back on the backside of that 90. Well, that morning I got up, got dressed, got all my stuff on, was walking back here to that backside of that 90 acres to get up in that tree stand. And there's a logging path. I just walked down that logging path. It's just straight shot, almost straight to my tree stand. So I'm walking back his logging path. And I look over, and it's probably maybe, I don't know, 30 yards back into the woods. And this is just right on the backside of my shed. And I see two sets of eyes just sitting there. And I'm looking at them. I'm like, well, I guess some two deers bedding down right there. So I just didn't think nothing of it, and I just kept walking. So I'm here just trekking through this old logging path, and I'm trying to be quiet so I don't spook up any deer or nothing, because them two I thought were deer was just sitting there. So I'm walking through, and I heard a twig break, that's the only thing I think it sounded like was a twig snapped. So I looked to the left, and there's these two eyes sitting there staring at me about 20 yards in the woods. And I'm like, what the heck? So I'm like, I guess it's that deer or whatever. I must have spooked it up, and it's walking back that path. There's a path there. It's a deer path that runs almost parallel with that logging road. So I look at it, and then I just put my head down and just kept walking, making sure I don't trip over no sticks or whatever and try to make any noise when I'm going back to my tree stand. So I'm walking, walk by another probably 50 yards, and I hear another like snap. And I look over, and there it is again. Those two eyes sitting there staring at me, and I'm sitting there thinking, this has got to be the dumbest deer I've ever seen. It's trying to come back here and right fall me on a tree stand. It's going to get shot. I sit there and stare at it, and I just see it blinking at me and everything else. And I just put my head down and just kept walking. I really didn't, you know, think, damn, that's a dumb, I'm sorry. I didn't think that's a dumb deer. So I'm just walking, and it's following me side by side the whole way there, like keeping the exact pace with me side by side. But I mean, I've seen a lot of deer, and I've spooked deer walking in the woods, and they're gone. They bolt. They're out of there. Even early in the morning time, you come across a deer, you run up on it, it's gone. It's shooting out like a bat out of hell. It's gone. But this thing was following me side by side almost all the way to my tree stand. Well, I get back on that backside of that 90, and I got to take a left and go over to this little fence. And right on the other side of the fence is a bunch of briars and stuff like that. And so I get climb over this fence, and I'm pushing my way through these briars, and I look up, and there's this thing just sitting there staring at me. And it wasn't the 30 yards off in the woods anymore. This thing was 15 foot in front of me. Like, I don't know if I cut it off or what, but it was 15 foot in front of me. I was sitting there staring at it with that red light, and I was like, what the heck? And I ended up turning on my white light. So I went up there and reached and turned on my white light, and it kind of pushed down over my eyebrows because I had my toboggan on, and I pushed it back up. When I flipped that bright light on, this thing, it went from me, look, the only thing I could think of is if it was like, I don't know if it, like I hear people on your show saying like this is on four legs or whatever. Like if it was on four legs or squatted down or what. But when I ended up turning that bright light on, this thing was up. I was looking up to it. I was looking up. I bet it had to have been at least 7 foot tall, because I'm 6 foot. I mean, I'm not a small dude. I was looking up to it, and I was like, holy crap. And this thing let out it sounded like a bark or something. That's the only thing I could describe it as. I've heard one of your people describe it, one of the good guys that you've had on here describe it, and it was like a deep, I don't know, wouldn't say a cough, but it was like a oh. I mean, I had my gun on me, and I was afraid to even unshoulder my gun, because whatever this thing was staring directly at me. And what I can't get over is how wide its eyes were. I couldn't, when I turned that bright light on, you got to understand, it was so dark outside. I couldn't see in front of me. I couldn't see in front of me 10 foot with my bright light on. That's it, just darkness. It just was so dark outside. Like I couldn't see nothing. I could see the eye shines, but I couldn't see if there was I can see behind it. Like I couldn't even see, you know, the figure or nothing like that. I just seen them eyes. These eyes was up in the air 7 foot. I guarantee 7 foot, if not taller. it scared me so dang bad. But then when it did that, oh, like it closed its eyes, and I didn't know where the heck the dang thing went. And my tree stand was about 20 feet away. And I bum rushed over my tree stand. I got up in there and I was just looking down trying to see where this thing went. And then I could see it was probably about five minutes. I was looking around me trying to see if I could see any of that eye shine again. Cause what got me is how wide these eyes were apart. They were just, I bet I could take my hand and put it between its eyes. Like that's how big the eyes were spread that far apart. Well, I got up in that tree stand and I was sitting there scanning through the woods with that light, trying to see if I should seen any eye shine coming back at me. And I caught a glimpse of it and I'm sitting there staring at it and it had to have been behind a tree. Cause I'd seen it looking, and then it would like go back to the left and disappear. Like it was peeking out from a tree and watching me or something. And that happened for probably a good 10 minutes. And then that other, when I said I seen, there was two sets of eyes. The other eyes were like a reddish color. The one that was, it looked like it was smaller. And the other ones were like an orangish looking color. Well, that thing that was behind a tree made a different noise. It sounded like a crow or something. Like, oh. And that's what it sounded like, a crow. Like a crow went, oh. And I'm sitting here looking at it. Looking at its eye shine, and I hear something off to the left of me come through the woods where I just come from. It was like rustling through the woods, and you could tell whatever it was smaller. It was small. I'm looking at it, and I'm looking to the left and looking back at this thing. And then I look back to the left, and I caught the red eye shine of that other one. It was small. It ended up being smaller because when it caught up to the other one, you could see the difference in the height of them. It come rushing through the woods and got over with that other one that was standing up, just peeking at me. My neighbor comes back in the woods about 6 o'clock and he's on his gator. Well, I can hear his gator coming, and when he comes over this hill and he pops over this hill, the headlights of this gator will shine down in the woods, and they'll light the whole set of the woods up down there. I heard him coming, and then right when that light started creeping up over the hillside and coming down, this thing, whatever it was, it took off through the woods like a freight train, just boom, didn't care if it made any sound, anything, and it was gone. Like it sounded like, people say it sounded like a cow just, I mean, this thing just sounded like a cow smashing through the woods. And that scared the living crap out of me. And I never got to look to see what it was, but whatever this thing was, it was like, we've had bear come through here. We've had, I know we got mountain lions in here I've seen one myself. I mean, DNR and them say that, no, they don't exist down here, but everybody down here where we live at, know they exist because we've seen them, got them on trail cameras, everything else. And I'm sitting here up in that tree stand trying to rationalize myself. What the heck was that I just seen? And I mean, whatever this was, it wasn't no bear. It wasn't no mountain lion. You know, it wasn't none of that. Cause when it stood there, the only thing I think of is when it was on four legs, when I seen him with the eye shine. And then whenever I clicked my light over, my light went underneath my eyes and I had to click it over and put the bright light on, it stood up. And this damn thing was 7 foot tall, if not taller. It was quiet, and then it just let out that, oh, like a cough thing. And I mean, it scared the living crap out of me. I never seen what it was. I mean, I think if I did see what it was, I wouldn't go back in the woods hunting again, but.
Yeah, I would imagine that's pretty unnerving. I mean, you're out there and it stands up right in front of you, especially when you're looking at the eyes, then all of a sudden they go up and up and up and it stands up. Did you ever talk to the neighbor and ask him if there's been anything going on that property or?
Well, see, the neighbor, I don't want to get his name out because
Yeah, and that's fine.
He's pretty highly respected. The one that lives the other side, I mean, he's pretty highly respected. Like, I told him what happened out there. I don't think he believed me, but I mean, I think he thinks I've seen something, but I don't think he believed me, the one that was on the gator. But my neighbor, my other neighbor, who I bought the property, I bought the property from his brother. His brother lost it to the bank, and he couldn't afford it. So I just bought it because the house had been sitting empty for 4 years before I bought it. And his brother, I went over to his brother. This was probably 2 years ago. And I took him a card and some stuff like that. And just, you know, just tell him, hey, thanks for letting me hunt back there or whatever. Cause after that, I've killed deer back there. And I'll just try to give him something every year to say, hey, you know, thanks for letting me, you know, hunt on your property. I gave him a card to go eat at some restaurant over there across the river. And cause the river's just right down the road from us, across the river over in Brandenburg, Kentucky. I asked him, I said, hey, I'm going to ask you a question. He said, yeah, what? I said, you ever seen anything weird around here? Like weird eyes or anything like that, you know? And he told me that his brother that owned this property, their kids swore up and down that they seen Bigfoot back there in the woods. I told him what happened to me. I said, well, I'm going to tell you right now, I seen something back there and it scared the living dog crap out of me. And he said, oh, well, I don't know. I'm just telling you what they told me. They said they've seen Bigfoot back there or whatever. I think that's what it was. But I mean, yeah. from what, because I got on your podcast because, I mean, I'm at work and I work over at an assembly plant over in Louisville. I work at a truck plant over there and we have nothing to do for 10 hours a day. And so I'm just scrolling through, you know, different podcasts and stuff like that. And I come across yours and I just going down a rabbit hole. And I was like, oh my God, that sounds exactly like what happened to me back there. And I just started listening and it started putting stuff together. Like the day that when we got the house and got the keys for this place, we was sitting there redoing the hardwood floor in here. And I went outside to make a cut for the hardwood floor. And it just smelled like a stinking dog, like a stinking old dog skunk smell. I was like, my gosh, that stinks. So I went inside and got my buddy Brian, and I have another friend named Tyler. I got them. I said, come out here and smell this. I said, what the heck is that? So they come out there and like, I don't know, that thing, whatever it is, freaking stinks. And as quick as it was there, it was gone. I've told friends about it, like my experience back in the woods, and they said, well, did it stink? You know, did it smell like a skunk? I told them, like, I use cover scent. My cover scent, I use skunk as my cover scent. Like, that's what I use. I mean, I told you yesterday, we ended up buying my wife a new Flex because it spilled skunk pee in the back of the 500.
Yeah.
but that's what I use as my cover scent. You know, an old man told me about that a long time ago. And I mean, I've gotten deer every time I've ever used it because, you know, I use other stuff and I get popped. When I use skunk, I don't get popped. It's like they know no predators around there, so they don't care not to venture in there. But I mean, I see people asking, what did it smell like? Did it smell like a dirty dog skunk? And I'm like, no. I'm like, I couldn't smell nothing. All I could smell was the skunk pee that I put on that rag on the bottom of my foot when I walked through the woods.
You know, a lot of times when they don't smell all the time. I would say the smell isn't reported as often as people might think. And there's people who have encounters who are really close to them, and they don't smell anything. Most of the time, people don't report a smell. But when they do, it's a pretty bad smell is how they describe it. The grunt that you heard, I really think that the grunt is them acknowledging that you're there. And I could be wrong. That's just my opinion. But I've heard after hearing so many accounts and really paying attention to behavior, I think when they grunt at you, I think it's them acknowledging you're there, I'm here. And I don't think it's meant to be aggressive, even though it sounds aggressive.
When I look back on it, that's what I kind of think it was. It was just saying, hey, I'm here. I mean, I knew it was there. I seen it. But when it stood up and did that, I think it seen my shotgun and seen that I was, you know, I think it seen I was scared half to freaking death. It did that. And I mean, I was so scared to even reach for my gun because whatever that was, it would have had me in it less than a second. It stood 7 foot tall, if not taller, and was 10 foot from me. It would have been on me. It had been on me like a pack of wild dogs in a second, and there's nothing I would have done about it. I couldn't even get my gun unshouldered fast enough.
Yeah, and it sounds
all I could
like,
think about was just getting in my tree stand and getting up off the ground. That's all I could think about.
Yeah, it sounds like a safe haven for them. I mean, it sounds like not too many people go back there on that property, and it's kind of a little safe haven for them back there. And, you know, I don't think it really meant you harm. And I could be wrong. That's just my opinion. I think it was acknowledging that you were there. And you know as well as I do, deer don't follow you off to the side through the forest.
Oh, no.
Predator-type behavior.
Yeah, because when I was up in a tree stand for that 7 hours, that's all I thought about. I was like, there was no way that's a deer, because a deer is not gonna follow me side by side the entire way back 90 acres, almost 90-acre stretch, all the way back to my tree stand. I mean, that doesn't happen. You know, I've run up on deer, and they just bolt. I mean, I've walked up on deer when I've walked through the woods, walking on that logging path. They'll be bedding down right up on a hillside, and they even hear me coming, they're gone. I mean, this thing, whatever it was, it trailed me the whole way back. I mean, when I think about it, I just wonder if it, you know, because I hear people say that, you know, they have really good eyesight at night, and they're like, they can see, like got like night vision or whatever. You know, I just wonder if it, I don't know if I, because they were posted up like right on a deer path. Like directly on a deer path. And I don't know if they were waiting for a deer to come down there in the morning or what they were doing, but this thing walked that entire deer path all the way up and was quiet. I mean, I guess when they had to move a branch or something out of the way or stepped on a stick, that's when I heard. Other than that, I didn't hear nothing. Just when I heard a stick break or something like that, that's the only time I ever heard that thing.
Do you still hunt there?
Yeah, I still hunt. I'm here right now. I sit out here sometimes. I just look back in the woods sometimes, see if I see anything move. No, I still go back there and hunt. Like I said, if I seen what it was, I don't think I would hunt back there. But I mean, I don't know if you understand. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I didn't get a look at it, so I don't know what it.
You don't want to give up hunting. I get it.
No, I mean, I love hunting.
Yeah,
but. Like, I mean, I got another spot I go to. It's about, because I bought some property. It was only about 3 miles from my parents' house. I mean, like, I've never had an experience like that out in the woods ever in my life until a couple of years ago. And I'm talking, me and my brothers, we would run these hillsides up and down when we was kids. Nobody cared back then. If you ran, you know, you run on their property, everybody knew you. They didn't care. You know, oh, there's some boys again running through the woods. You know, that's what we did. We ran through the woods everywhere. Summertime, we was out in the woods with our BB guns running around. Never once I had any kind of experience, anything that I could think of.
You'll have to keep me up to date. Let me know if anything else happens out there. I want to talk about the lights. We talk about the lights on the show. Several people have seen them. I've seen them. And I have no clue what they are. Before we get into that, what do you think Sasquatch is, Tyler? What's your opinion?
Honestly, after I seen these light things, I mean, I've had a couple years to ponder on it. After I seen these light things, what I think it is, and what I've looked up and stuff like that, I mean, I think the government knows about it. I mean, I don't know why they wouldn't tell people about it, unless they don't want to get scared or whatever. I mean, I don't think it's because of forestry or anything like that. But what I think they're flesh and blood creatures. You know, that's what I think they are. But whenever me and my wife seen that light back in the woods, I mean, I'm talking within days of that sighting. I mean, or whatever I encountered back there. I don't know if they I've watched a video of a dude. He thinks like they're like something else, bring like an alien or something. I wouldn't call it an alien or whatever, but brings them here and they're like watchers or something like that. Or they just like, what? I have no idea. I mean, it's there's so many things they could be. It's just unreal.
Yeah, I hear you.
I mean, but
yeah.
I think the flesh and blood. I mean, because whatever was standing in front of me, it let out a grunt thing. I mean, and I felt, I mean, I've heard people say, you know, oh, you felt it in their, you felt it in their chest. And I'm telling you, when this thing was 10 foot from me, it went oh, like that. I felt it in my chest. And I was like, holy crap. And I mean, the only thing I could think about was getting to my tree stand, getting up off the ground. Because there wasn't no way I was running back 90 yards. I mean, 90 acres. There's no dang way.
I would have ran for the tree stand, too. That's for
oh,
sure.
Yeah. That's what I made a quick dash to the tree stand, and I was up there, and I had that light shining. I mean, if it come up, because when I got up the tree stand, I racked one. I racked a bullet in my gun. When I got up that tree stand, I racked one right in my gun. I mean, I think that's why it went back further whenever I racked that bullet. I think that's why it went back further in the woods when I was shining my light. Because it seemed that I grabbed my gun and I racked a shell up in it.
But, yeah, could be. Well, tell us about the lights. I know the light story that you have is very similar to, I've heard this before and I don't know what it is, the beam of light. I think I even had a military veteran on the show who shared something very similar. But if you would, kind of tell us about this light. What were you doing and what did you see?
Well, it was about 12 o'clock at night, and I was in my living room, and I was drinking something. I don't know why, sweet tea. And I come over here to the kitchen window, and my kitchen window looks out to my little garage and out to the woods. It backs up right up to the woods. The woods are probably, I don't know, I'd say 40 yards back. I come over to the window, and my driveway is on my right-hand side, and I got a little bit of hill. And then it flattens off, and I got the kids' little playground area up there. And then it's just a straight cornfield, and because that's my neighbor's property. It's a straight cornfield, probably a good 400 yards back. I come over here to the window, and I put my dish, my cup in the sink, and I look up, and there's this beam of light. There's this beam of light back there shining straight up into the woods. I mean, straight up from the woods, straight up around the backside of this field, like straight up into the air. And I was like, what the heck is that? So I'm sitting there staring at it, and it's just shining straight. It looked like a searchlight shining straight up into the air. So I walk over here, and my wife is sleeping on the couch. I told her, I said, hey, honey, get up. I said, come over here and look at this light. She's like, what are you talking about? Like, there's a big old light over here in the neighbor's field. So she gets up, comes over here, and she's like, what the heck is that? I said, I have no idea. I said, but it's, you know, because I said, I probably watched it for a good 3 minutes before I went and got her and went over and woke her up. I said, I don't know, but it's been there for about 3-4 minutes. So I got my shoes on and I walk outside. I go up on top of that little hill right there where my kid's playground is. And I got a clear view of it. Like the woods were kind of blocking my view, but when I got up on that little hillside, I can look back and it was a clear view of it. It was back there right on the backside of his woods because I could see the woods behind it. And it was shining straight up. And it was as big as round as a searchlight. Like I bet it was 5 foot across, 6 foot across, shining straight up into the air, like beam, just straight up. And I was like, what the heck is that? So my wife, I went over to Howard for my wife. I was like, hey, get some shoes on, come out of here. So she got some shoes on, come up there, and we were sitting there staring at it out off that hillside. And I was like, what the hell is that? I was like, heck if I know. So I don't know what it is. So I called my neighbor that owns that field. I called him, and he's the type of neighbor that, you know, if you can run back here on his property, you know, I can, because me and him are really good, really, really close neighbors. I got a key to his house. He's got a key to mine. We keep an eye on everybody's property. Both of our properties we keep an eye on. So I called him. I gave him a call, and I said, hey, man. He goes, hey, what's up? I said, I didn't wake you up, did I? He said, no, I'm up here at my dad's. His dad lives about 3-4 miles up the road. And I said, all right. I was like, well, I'm going to tell you, there's somebody or something back here on your property. He goes, what is it? I said, it's a big old beam of light shining straight up into the air. He goes, a big beam of light? I said, yeah, it's a huge light shining straight up into the air. And he's like, well, maybe it's a coon hunter or somebody lost a deer. I said, no. I was like, I'm telling you, this is a search. This is as big as a searchlight, and it's shining straight up into the air. And he's like, well, I'll be there in a minute. So I got off the phone with, I tried to, on my phone, I tried to video this thing. I tried to take pictures of it. but I got an Android and it's crappy. I mean, I had video of it and all you could see was like a couple little, you could see like a light back there, but you couldn't even make it out. It's so far back. And well, he ended up out here. There's hardly any cars that come around. So if cars coming, you're going to hear it. Well, he started coming around the corner, literally right when I could hear his motor coming, that light just shut off. And my wife was sitting there. She's like, oh, my God. I was like, yeah, let's get back inside. So we hurried up off the hillside and come back inside. And he called me up and he's like, where's that light? I was like, dude, it shut off right when we could hear your vehicle coming. That light shut off. So he ended up taking his truck and he drove back there up on that hillside where I told him it was at. And he couldn't find nothing, didn't see nothing, nothing was there. It's like that a light appeared and then it just turned off in the blink of an eye.
It's so bizarre. I've had other people describe that. I remember I had a witness on one time, and I think it was at his mom's house, and he was out there, and it was a beam of light sitting up on the hill, and they couldn't figure out what it was. And he had asked, no, he's at his girlfriend's house, and it was her mother's home. I don't know if any of that made any sense. But anyway, and they asked the mother, what's back there on that hill? And she said, there's nothing back there. And they couldn't figure out what the light was. Very bizarre. Was it do you remember what color it was?
It was white. It was like somebody had a big searchlight back there shining. Like the light come from the ground. It come from the ground up. Cause you could see where it would fade up when it got up higher up into the sky. It faded out. But on the ground part where it was on the ground, it was as bright as, I mean, a searchlight. I mean, that's the only thing I can describe it as, a big searchlight shining straight up. And that's what it looked like. A huge searchlight shining straight up into the air.
Yeah. So bizarre. It makes you wonder what it was. Was that the only time you saw the lights?
That was the only time I saw the lights. That was the only time I saw that light. Like when I was a kid, my mom, me and her were driving down the road, and we was almost like, they only lived about 3 miles as crow flies, you know, away from me. We were coming down this valley, and there's a house that's up on this hill. Like when I look, just think about, you know, when I saw it there, and then I think back about the other little strange little things here and there that happened when I was a kid. We were driving and my mom's like, what is that? I'm like, what's what? And I was probably 10 years old at the time. And there was a light coming from the sky. I mean, this thing, it looked like a scene out of a movie. Like this light just shined straight down on this house, like a beam of light straight on this house. And you could see it. We was driving down there because we was down in this holler driving. It was in a holler. It'd be a valley. We was driving down this valley, and this house is up on this hill. Well, our driveway, our road, we got turned. You got to go up on top of this hill and take a left and follow that ridge line across where that house is sitting up on that ridge line. And this beam of light was just shining straight down on this house. My mom slowed down. She's like, what is that? I'm like, I have no idea. I mean, we never knew what it was. By the time we got up there, it was gone. But where that beam of light was, if I remember right, I think it was before that, that's where we seen that big old dog, that humongous. I mean, this dog was massive. I mean, I told you yesterday, we come across, there's an old church up there on this hilltop. There's a fence across from it. And this fence, it's at least 5.5 foot tall. Fence, 6 foot tall. It's a big fence. And this dog or whatever it was, I think it was a wolf. I mean, but we don't have wolves around here. This thing, it had jumped that fence and was walking across the road. I was sitting up front with my mom, and my brothers and sisters was in the back. And this thing had crossed the road and it stopped in front of us. And I bet this thing was 4 foot at the shoulders. I mean, it was massive, and it was covered in black, long hair. And this thing stopped in the middle of the road when we come up on it with our headlights. It stopped and just stared at us. It was on all fours, and it stared at us for a good probably 5-6 seconds. And then it bolted off, went straight through the woods. But when it went straight through the woods where our driveway is, it comes around, it cuts around the other side of that church and goes down a hill. And then that's a road. It goes down a hill and then it turns. And then when it turns right into our driveway. So it's like a half of a square, the road is to where our driveway is. Well, when we was coming up the driveway, because my mom was sitting there thinking, my God, that's the biggest dog I've ever seen in my life. You know, this thing was massive. Like we've had a bunch of dogs. This thing was massive. And by the time we got, it's probably a half a mile's drive. By the time we got down our driveway, this thing shot across the driveway. And my mom was freaking out. I mean, she usually packs a gun with her everywhere she goes. That's how my dad is. My dad's got a gun everywhere he goes. And this thing shot across the driveway. It scared me and her to death. She had one of these big old cell phone, I don't know, it come in like a briefcase. When I was probably 10, this thing was a big old briefcase looking cell phone. She had it and she was calling my dad on it because he was at home. She's calling in. She's like, you need to get out here right now with a gun because there's a huge, huge dog out here and you need to get out here now. So he come outside with a gun and heck, he's scared of the dark. I mean, he's scared of the dark beyond belief. Well, he come out there with a gun. I mean, we never heard anything, see anything after that.
Let me ask you, how big was this thing compared to like a normal dog?
I have, like right now, I got a German Shepherd Rottmix. He's a pretty big dog. This thing dwarfed him. I mean, I'm telling you, this thing was, I bet it was at least 4 foot at the shoulders. When it was on all fours, it was 4 foot. And when I'm telling you that it was, if it would have stood up on four legs, I bet it'd have been 8 foot tall. I mean, if it stood up on two legs, I bet this thing would have been 8 foot tall. I mean, it was massive, massive. It is a huge, it was the biggest dog I've ever seen in my life. Like ever. And I lived up in Salem, Indiana for a little bit. And there's some people there who had these like half wolf, half hybrid breed dogs or whatever. Them were some big dogs. I mean, big dogs. And I've had one, he got out of the cage and come up there to my back porch one time. And I was scared. And don't get me wrong, I was scared. Crap, just opened the door and he was standing there. But this thing was bigger than it. And it was black, like a black silky hair. It was something you'd see in a movie, but when we went down our driveway, this thing had to have run so fast to cross our path as we went down our driveway. I mean, it had to cut through the field, cut through the woods, and then cross our path. That's how fast this thing was rolling. I mean, it was getting it. My mom told my dad about it, and she said, you know, it's the biggest dog I've ever seen. You know, it's massive. And he's like, oh, it's probably just a coyote, blah, blah, blah. I told him, I said, no, this was no coyote at all. This thing was huge. And then a couple farmers a couple weeks later had their cows getting killed by this thing. This thing was out here killing people's cows. Like some of people's calves was just missing. They just gone. A dude down here still today has a sign posted out front of his farm. About why are people stealing his cows, like baby calves when they're born, it was gone. Like I remember my dad saying something that one of these farmers out here or whatever seen that dog and got a couple shots off after it. But I don't remember hearing anything else after that of that big old dog being around here.
Yeah, it makes you wonder if it was a real dog or something else. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah, I mean if this was a dog, my gosh. I mean, if there's no way it was a dog, there's no way this thing was a real dog. It was that massive. And for a dog to get, that's what my mom was thinking about too. How did it get from where we seen it to crossing our driveway in that short of amount of time? Cause we're doing 40 mile an hour. You know, we're doing 40 mile an hour down this old country road, 35, 40 mile an hour. And then we pull up in our driveway. This thing shoots across the driveway. And this thing had to have been running 35 mile an hour at least. That's what my mom wasn't understanding. You know, I mean, that's what, you know, she's like, how did it cross our driveway? We was going 35 mile an hour. I mean, that's why I don't think this thing was no dog. This thing was no regular dog. I mean, I don't know what it was. I've heard people on your show talk about like a wolf dog or whatever that was. That's what it looked like. It looked like a stray wolf, like a huge wolf with long fur. I mean, it was long fur, long hair all over his body, even up by its face, because it stood there and stared at us for a good, you know, like I said, 5 or 10 seconds. We got a good look at it, and it just sat there and stared. It just looked at us, and then boom, it was gone, like a flash. Boom, it was just gone, running through the woods.
Yeah, it doesn't sound like a dog. It definitely sounds like something else. And you know, the one of the last things I want to talk about is the kind of the weird experience you had. You were telling me about with that see-through thing in your room. Do you mind telling briefly us a little bit about that?
Yeah, this was when I seen that light out in the wood, out in the field of my neighbors. This was a few days after that. It was just a few days after that. I was sitting there sleeping. I had to get up, go to work in the morning. About 3 o'clock, I just opened my eyes, and I couldn't move. I was like, you know, I tried to move. I couldn't move my arms, couldn't move my head, couldn't move my feet, I couldn't move at all. And I was like, what the heck is going on? And I couldn't even speak. Like, I couldn't open my mouth, say a word. And out of the right side of my eye, I caught movement out of the right side of my eye. And I was sitting there looking, because I could move my eyes left and right. I could move my eyes, just any other part of my body, I couldn't move. And I was sitting there staring at this. It was like a blob, a clear blob thing. Sounds weird, but it was like it was clear. I could see through it because I have a light in my bathroom, a little night light in my bathroom, because my wife sometimes has to get up and go to the bathroom at night. So the light was on, and I could see through this thing. Whatever it was moving, and it was like it was sparkly. Like, I could see through it, but it was sparkly. And I was like, what the heck is that? I'm sitting there thinking, what is this thing? And I couldn't move at all. About that time, my dog come over to the backside of the house where my head was at, and he started barking and carrying on. And it was just like I just snapped out of it. Whatever I was in, I jumped up. I turned on all the lights in the house. I was like, what the heck was that? And my wife gets up. She's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, something was here standing here right beside me. I was like, I don't know what it was, but it was here. I don't know if it was a ghost or what. I have no idea, but it scared me. It scared me half to death, and I couldn't even go back to sleep. My wife, she started, you know, I got home or whatever after work, and she went and bought a night light, went motion sensor night lights, trying to joke with me about it, plugged it in. I said, I'm telling you now, that was no joke. I was more scared then than I was out in the woods. That time I seen that thing out in the woods, I was more scared then because I couldn't move here. And then it was that night I went back to sleep. I was trying to go back to sleep, but heck, every little noise I heard, I was up wide awake. I mean, I wasn't going back to sleep. And then it was the next day after that, I laid down and I ended up dozing off. And it was the exact same time, 3 o'clock in the morning, wide awake. I couldn't move. And I was like, holy crap. And I already knew right then, I knew what was going on because it had happened before. And I couldn't move. My wife before that, she's like, well, if it does happen again, you know, you're trying to say something to me, trying to speak. Why don't you wake me up? I'm like, I couldn't even talk. I'm sitting here and I'm this time, I bet it lasted for a good 15 minutes. I'd laid there. I was just staring at this thing over top of my head. And it was over top of my head, and it would move down like toward my feet and come back up. And it was just it looked like somebody blew a bubble, and it was sparkly and you could see through it. I was so scared. I mean, my hand's shaking right now because just talking about it. That was the scariest I've ever been in my entire life because I couldn't move. I couldn't speak. I couldn't talk. I couldn't do nothing. It was just like, my dog outside, he come over to the side of the house and started barking and carrying on again. And it was just instant. I was out of it. I jumped up, turned on all the lights in the house again. And she's like, what's the matter? I'm like, it was back. Whatever this thing was back again. And it did it again. And I said, this time it was 15 minutes. I couldn't move. And she's like, you couldn't speak or talk or touch me. I said, I couldn't do it. I said, Ashley, I said, I laid there I laid there for a good 5 minutes. I laid there five minutes trying my hardest to even try to pull my arm to touch her, and I couldn't do it. And then I have no clue what it was. The only thing I know is that whatever that light was I seen out there and whatever this was, it all happened at the same, almost at the same time, within the same time frame. So I think whatever those things were and that thing in the woods, I think all that was related. I have no idea, but I haven't had, ever since that happened, I haven't had nothing since. Like, it's just nothing since it's happened. And it's been a good 3 years, if not longer, nothing's happened since then. Could that have been, you know, I heard about sleep paralysis. I heard, you know, could that have been sleep paralysis? Well, I go and I look it up, and yeah, some of it's similar, but I mean, I'm talking, I'm wide awake, and I'm seeing this thing moving from up by my head, down to my feet, up by my head, and I can't move, can't talk, and I'm sitting there like, I have to have a fan on, and when it was there that 15 minutes, that fan was blowing, I couldn't blink. I mean, I could move my eyes, I couldn't blink, and my eyes was wide open. And I could feel the tear. There was a tear that come down my eye, and I still feel like I feel it today. Rolled down the side of my face and went into my ear. Just the feeling that you couldn't do anything about even getting up. It's so scary. I mean, like I said, that's the scariest I've ever been in my entire life.
Yeah, I bet. It would terrify me, especially not being able to move or anything. How big was the blob?
I really couldn't, like, how wide it was. It was probably like 2 foot wide, maybe, but I couldn't like look down or nothing. I couldn't move my head. All I can do is look to the right, and it would move down, and like, it didn't cover my whole body. When it moved, you could see like an outline of it. Like, it moved, you could see where it stopped and where it started. It would move down to my feet, then it would come back up to my head, and it would move down and come back up. And I mean, I don't know. I couldn't tell you how tall it was or how big it was, but I know how wide it wasn't. It wasn't as wide as me. You know, if I was laying down, it didn't take up my whole body length. It was probably maybe a third of my body length. So, I mean, I don't know how tall it was because I was laying down. I have no idea about that. But whatever it was, it was probably maybe 2 foot wide. And it was just a clear silhouette, like somebody blew a bubble, like a bubble. You could see through it. But it was sparkly, like somebody, like it was glitter, like had glitter on it, but you could see straight through it. But that right there was as scared as I've ever been. My hand's shaking right now talking about it.
Yeah, I bet. Like I said, I would have been terrified too. It makes you wonder. It's kind of a weird experience, especially it happened right around the same time you saw the light in the woods.
Oh, yeah.
You wonder if they were, you know, correlated.
Well, this is why I think all three of them are connected, because I seen that thing in the woods. This is why I think it, whatever it is, it drops. I think it, whatever it is, it drops these, if you want to call them Sasquatches or Bigfoots or whatever. I think whatever, it drops them off and has them run around and do business or whatever. They're trying to get stuff or whatever. I have no idea, because all this happened, I'm talking within weeks from each other. Like this, the thing I encountered down the woods. Then it was a couple of days later that I seen that light. And then it was like 2 days after that was whatever I had visiting me in my bedroom. Like, I don't know if the, whatever it was in the woods said, hey, when it got, I don't know if it goes into that light or comes out of the light or what, but if it went into the light and said, hey, this person or this, you know, that dude right there seen us, and this thing comes over here and has a visit with me. I mean, I have no idea, but that's the only thing I put together.
Yeah, it's terrifying. But, it's terrifying.
Oh, it was, oh my gosh. I'm shaking right now talking about it. I can go in the woods right now and I'm fine.
Yeah.
You know, but because I didn't get a look at whatever that was. I just seen eyes shine. But whatever it was big. Don't get me, it was humongous. Trust me, I was scared when it did that. I was almost crap my pants. But I seen this thing and I couldn't, it had control over me where I couldn't move. Whatever it was, I couldn't move. That's what scares me so bad, that whatever it was, it could come back anytime and there's nothing I can do. You know, trying to explain to my wife, you know, and I'm over here choked up talking about to her and you know, there was nothing I could have done in that situation to warn her, or, you know, I got two kids, you know, I have no idea. But that was, oh my God, it was so scary. But I've had nothing since.
Yeah, it's terrifying when you can't fight back. That's for sure. Well, Tyler, I appreciate you coming on and sharing, you know, the experiences throughout your life with us. I really enjoyed talking to you. Thank you again for coming on.
Oh, well, thanks. I appreciate it. I'm just glad I can get it out to somebody who understands, or, you know, who halfway understands what I'm talking about.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you again.
Thank you.
And that's it for tonight, everyone. Remember, if you've had an encounter, shoot me an email. My email address is wes@sasquatchchronicles.com. And if you get a chance, check out sasquatchchronicles.com. You can become a member and get additional shows. Until next time, everyone.
Sailor. sports betting is sweeping across the country faster than the coronavirus, and Wagering Week is your antidote. I'm Tom Barton, and I'm a veteran sports analyst and respected sports handicapper who helped build ESPN's brand. I've been recognized and awarded by Pro Football Weekly and Gaming Today magazine as the honest handicapper. Let the other guys give you the same old boring sports talk with the same tired storylines. We'll give it to you straight here every Friday on Wagering Week. Don't gamble with other podcasts. Let Sports Garden Network's Wagering Week help your bottom line.